Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Home stretch here on Silver and Black today on a Monday. Yes, I know you're saying, wait a minute, you guys usually are Tuesday, Thursday. Yeah, we were recording this Monday morning. We're getting it out right away Monday because of the news over the weekend and everything that's going on. Plus, it's sort of the off season. So that's how it is. We get past the Super Bowl. Mo and I are probably going to take a week off. So get used to that for a little bit so we can just focus on some of the other things that we do for a living. But that's OK. We won't abandon you. We'll be back right after that. So stay tuned. Do us a favor. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast wherever you get it. Also, do us a favor. Have some conversation with us. Don't be a snapperhead, but follow us on x.com, Mo Moton, M-O-E-M-O-T-O-N. I am at LV Gully, and the show is SNB Today. All right, Mo. So we talked about it, the Luke Getsy now offense. We start to think about the NFL Combine. It's just over 3 weeks away. I'm going to be up there in Indianapolis, too. So I hope to get to be able to talk to some of these guys that the Raiders might target. But we talked about quarterback last time. We saw the Senior Bowl this past weekend. Spencer Rattler was a player of the game. A guy I've seen some Raider fans talk about. When you look at the rankings, he didn't make the rankings of the top eight we talked about last week when we were looking at possible quarterbacks in the draft for the Raiders. And that's what the Senior Bowl game does, right? The Senior Bowl tends to bring players to the forefront sometimes who are ranked based on their numbers in college and all that stuff. And then they get in front of all these pro coaches and scouts for a week and they start to climb or fall down the list. Spencer Rattler is one of the guys who rose up there. We saw Bo Nix struggle early in the week, come back strong in the week. We also saw Michael Penix Jr. with the same thing, mixed reactions on both those guys. But these are the guys I'm talking about because I think the top three are out of reach for the Raiders. I just don't see it happening unless some big, big deal happens. And I think the chances of that happening are probably less than 10%. So if we focus on the 90%, you're talking Nix, you're talking Penix Jr., you're talking guys like Rattler and others, Pratt from Tulane. Knowing what we know about Getsy and his system, I think those guys fit that system because they are more functionally mobile. We talked about Penix and his injury history, but I continue to think that if they're in the range and Bo Nix is there, he's probably a guy that they would want to target. But give me your thoughts after what you saw this weekend.
Yeah, I agree. So first of all, I want to say that both Bo Nix and Michael Penix had a mixed bag performance in totality overall. Matt Holder, my buddy Sobo, they were out there in Mobile, Alabama, and they wrote about a lot of that. But mixed bag, but they both ended, as you said, on a high note. I will say, I think, and I agree with you on this, I think Bo Nix can run an RPO-heavy offense. I think Bo Nix is a fit for Luke Getsy. And shout out to Raider Erie, who listens to this show, because I'm gonna use the line that she makes fun of me for. But Raider fans aren't going to want to hear this. But I honestly think that J.J. McCarthy is in play for the Raiders with Luke Getsy there, because J.J. McCarthy, I think, can also run an RPO-heavy offense. If
quick you look
at what he did in Michigan, quick release, run-heavy offense out there in Michigan. And he didn't have to do too much. So he wasn't throwing the ball 40, 45 times. And I don't think with a Luke Getsy offense, you're going to get a quarterback who's going to throw that much. He's going to be a complimentary piece, at least early, especially if he's a rookie, to the run game. So I think J.J. McCarthy also fits that mold. So a lot of people who are criticizing Bo Nix for a bunch of screen passes and short passes, that's what Luke Getsy's offense looked like in Chicago this past season.
Wasn't just because Fields wasn't performing. It was that's how it's designed.
Right. And I think there was one instance where I think Chicago played Minnesota. I think Chicago won the game. It was like 12-10. It was a very low scoring game. And Justin Fields didn't wow anyone with his throws. It was a bunch of short throws, and it was a bunch of passes at or behind the line of scrimmage. So, again, if you're, I know Antonio Pierce talked about the vertical passing game, and I think you can build off of play action and do that. But at first, early with a rookie quarterback, I think you're going to get a lot of short passes, a lot of high completion throws, a lot of stick routes, hitch routes, a lot of RPOs with quick passes out to the flat. You're going to see a lot of that. And I think when you look at the rookies, I think Bo Nix and J.J. McCarthy fit that. Because, again, with the RPO-heavy offense, you don't necessarily need a mobile quarterback, but you need a quarterback who has a very quick release, makes quick decisions, and can read defenders. Because if that defender is crashing in, that quarterback can either throw or he can keep the ball if he's a mobile quarterback and run with the football. So there is going to be – that quarterback is going to have some quick decisions to make. There's going to be a lot on his plate. But, again, quick release, quick decisions.
Right. You're not going to see offenses like Miami or Dallas or Houston or even San Francisco. And I know a lot of people criticize Brock Purdy because they say, oh, he's dumping it off. But that's part of that offense. It's basically the same offense. It's a derivative of it. And so you look at that and you look at those quarterbacks, and I think you're right. So if you – the Bo Nix, the J.J. McCarthy, that mold is going to be what you probably get if they do that. I'm just questioning, Mo, whether or not even at 13, if both those guys are there, which seemingly they could be, if the Raiders go quarterback. I just don't. I mean, it's such a glaring need. You would think, of course, you're going to go quarterback. I don't know. Do they go in the trenches? Do they go offensive line? Do they go defensive line? And then, but I think if you default on the quarterback and you say, well, we're going to go later. To me, then you're putting a lot more pressure on Aiden O'Connell and your front office to find some sort of veteran that's going to come in and help out.
Well, the first thing that has to happen is free agency. So I think what the Raiders do in free agency will tell you kind of what their draft plan is. If they go after a high-end free agent quarterback like Kirk Cousins, then it's more likely that they're going to draft a quarterback outside of the first round. If they don't sign a quarterback in free agency, or it's a quarterback like Jacoby Brissett, then it's a higher probability that they go early with a quarterback. Mm-hmm. Now, the fluid thing here is you don't know where these quarterbacks are going to land. A team may trade up even before the draft, throw a monkey wrench in a lot of other teams' plans. There's going to be a lot of rumors about this team's looking at a quarterback. This team is going to move up into the top 10, and they'll leave us in suspense going into draft day. When it comes to Raiders at 13, I think Bo Nix is a possibility. He could be available, but I will say this again, and I said this last week, don't be surprised if the Vikings or the Denver Broncos draft Bo Nix and move up into the top 10 to get him. I think Bo Nix is going to go a lot earlier than people think.
I do too.
When it comes to J.J. McCarthy, I think J.J. McCarthy is going to be there at 13 if the Raiders want him. If the Raiders are very high on J.J. McCarthy, I wouldn't be surprised if the Raiders draft J.J. McCarthy at 13. Scott, I'm old enough to remember when the Jim Harbaugh rumors were floating around and people were saying, don't want Jim Harbaugh because he's going to draft J.J. McCarthy. How ironic would it be that Jim Harbaugh goes to the Chargers and the Raiders still draft J.J. McCarthy at 13 with Luke Getsy as their coordinator? I think it's possible.
It's very, very possible. And that's what's going to be interesting, though, too, because we look at, as we talked about in the last segment, Mo, Getsy's system, and you're talking about those screen passes, especially with a younger quarterback, and how it operates with the RPOs. You have to look at it from the totality, too, of the division. So look at the division. How's that offense going? You look at the Chiefs defense. I know they might lose a couple key pieces once the Super Bowl is over. But you look at Denver's defense. They're a little bit in flux as well. You look at the Chargers defense. And you start to think, does that offense play well in the AFC West? Now, the Chiefs' offense fell back this year, and they're still in the Super Bowl because the defense has been so good, too. They've had balance, basically. The Chargers' defense has been brutal, obviously, especially late in games. They have not been able to close the door. How does that offense fit in the AFC West? Because at the very first thing you got to do is you got to be able to hopefully try to win the division so that you get a better seed in the playoffs.
It's going to be tough sledding because you got Steve Spagnuolo in Kansas City. You got Vance Joseph out there in Denver. I didn't catch who the Chargers have as their defensive coordinator, but I would assume Harbaugh is going to assemble a pretty good staff over there.
What's his name from Michigan that was with him at Michigan? Milton.
Mark. Okay. So there you go. He's gonna put together a quality staff. So with that said, I think with the Raiders having potentially a rookie quarterback or Aiden O'Connell, fans are going to have to adjust themselves to an offense that may not be explosive right away, even though they have Davante Adams, Jacoby Myers, and Trey Tucker. I think with a rookie quarterback or Aiden O'Connell, you're going to be a run-focused team, and you're going to attack those teams on the ground. We saw this with the Kansas City Chiefs during the year. Even this past season, with their defense that has been pretty good this year, one of the best units in previous seasons, the way to attack the Kansas City's Chiefs defense was right up the middle running the football. Now we'll see if they lose Chris Jones. If they lose Chris Jones in free agency, more of a reason why you should run the football against them. We saw this against Denver. Denver Broncos had one of the worst run defenses this past season. Now I'm sure they'll add players to kind of help that area and bolster their interior run defense, but you run the ball at those teams. The Chargers have been known for being a soft team defensively. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Harbaugh will work on that and bring some toughness to Los Angeles. But all three of those teams in recent years have been susceptible to the run. And I think with the Raiders offense, again, with an inexperienced quarterback or even Aiden O'Connell, who has not even a full year of starting experience on his resume, you're going to see a run-oriented team, because I think that's what Luke Getsy said when he got to Chicago. I saw his introductory or his first press conference when he was the Bears offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. He said, we have a physical football team, and he wanted to lean into that. He goes into Las Vegas, and we all know how Antonio Pierce ran that team after Josh McDaniels was fired. Physical football team. So I think you're going to see similarities there between how the Bears built their offense with Luke Getsy and how the Raiders will build their offense with Luke Getsy in the upcoming year.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, we've heard it, and I know I've heard from fans say, oh, I'm excited. It's going to be run-first offense. And you have to, but you also have to pass the ball. It's the modern NFL, right? So you have to be able to do it at key times. And if you're able to establish your offense, and like you said, especially against some of those teams, get that run going, get it moving so that you can take some of the pressure off the quarterback, especially if it's a young quarterback, then I think you're in a good spot. But I think the AFC overall, you can look at the AFC West, you can look at the Raiders getting better, but man, the AFC, again, you're going to have a Cincinnati team next year with Burrow back. With additions there, you have some AFC teams that are going to get better. You still got Buffalo. They got a lot of issues to deal with too. It's just a tough, you talk about tough sledding. The whole entire AFC is tough sledding. So the Raiders are going to have to figure out, in my view, I think they have to maintain what they've built on defense, and they have got to get much, much better. You can't move up a spot or two or three on defense. I mean, excuse me, on offense. You got to make a jump. You got to make some kind of jump. And if that's through running the ball primarily, great. But you got to be able to do that. You got to be able to score points. You got to be able to score points in the red zone, which they have not been able to do over the last couple of years. So we'll see. I mean, like you said, free agency will start here in another month, and then we'll start to see the pieces fall into place. And we'll get a better sense, as you said, for where the Raiders are going to be going as far as their roster building goes.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Most important thing for Luke Getsy, he's got to figure out the passing game. Luke Getsy has shown that he could develop pass catchers. Davante Adams, he was Davante Adams' wide receiver coach in Green Bay. Davante Adams, I'm sure, praised Luke Getsy for his development early in his formative years. I talked about Cole Kmet's development as a tight end. So Luke Getsy has shown that he can develop pass catchers in an offense.
Yes.
The question is, can he put the talent together to field an offense that can move the ball through the air, because that's been his issue. Even going back to Mississippi State, there were complaints. If you look back at reports, there were complaints that Mississippi State has this dominant defense, has a strong run game, but they struggle in the passing game. Nick Fitzgerald had regressed as far as his completion rate under Luke Getsy. Mm-hmm. You get to Chicago, I know he was the pass game coordinator in Green Bay, but as you said, he had Aaron Rodgers. He ain't going to have Aaron Rodgers in Las Vegas. So when you look at the Chicago Bears offense, that offense struggled again vertically in the pass game. Now, some of that is because Justin Fields has his flaws. But also, you can't, as I said earlier, you can't completely absolve Luke Getsy. And I think when Luke Getsy comes to Las Vegas, got to get the quarterback right and got to get that quarterback to be able, as you said, to move the ball through the air, because you have to have balance. And Tony Pierce talked about it. Have to be able to run the ball, have to be able to use the vertical passing game.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I'll close on this one, because I think for me, the question marks and some of the doubt that I have just internally. And again, I'm not emotionally attached like a fan, so I look at it differently than some of you out there who are watching or listening might. Is just you have a very personality driven, tough, defensive minded first time head coach in Antonio Pierce. And he surrounded himself now with people that he knows from the past, i.e. Marvin Lewis, some of these guys, which is a good thing. You talked about this before, the mentorship, somebody there you can really trust and bounce. We all have those in our lives. Very, very important. So I think for me, the offense and some of the other positions, I was looking for progressive minds, new minds with experience, though not somebody who had a couple years experience. I was looking for somebody who might be able to come in, has somewhat a tracker. It doesn't have to be a perfect track record, but just somebody who's known for kind of pushing the envelope, pushing things forward at the forefront of where offense is going. So to me, that's why I called it uninspired. That again doesn't mean that people don't change. It doesn't mean that the situation might allow him more freedom than he had in Chicago. So he might be able to adjust. We'll have to see. We won't see until we get to August and September. So it's going to be fun. We're going to have a fun off season. And of course, we're going to get later in the week, we're going to get a mailbag show. We'll just do a quick mailbag show for you as our schedule kind of starts to wind down a little bit. Mo and I got a lot of Super Bowl coverage to do this week for our respective employers. So we're going to be all over that, but we will get back to some of your messages because you have a lot of it. By the way, make sure you call in 702-900-7869. That's 702-900-7869. The number's below in the description of this video as well as the podcast. If you want to take a look at that, you can also email us at mail@silverandblacktoday.com. That's mail@silverandblacktoday.com. Mo, you got any Bleacher Report stuff you want to, or Sports Not stuff you want to call out to people here early in this week?
First of all, I want to thank everyone who joined me on Bleacher Report on the live show that aired 1:30 Eastern time, 10:30 Pacific time. I know for the Pacific Coast, West Coast people, that's very early. So thank you for getting up with me early on Monday morning. I'm going to have a Sports Not piece coming up talking about the positives and negatives of Luke Getsy. Because I know there are some people out there who just want the positives, and there are some people out there who just are negative through and through. Oh, we have Luke Getsy, our offense is going to stink. And I just want to give an objective, straightforward point of view of what to expect, not necessarily telling people what to think, but just giving you, as we went through today, some of the principles of a Luke Getsy offense and what it could look like and who he could bring in and how the offense could operate with that quarterback, with a new tight end, with another running back in the backfield. So I'll go over that in the Sports Night Pete's on Thursday. That will drop. As I said, I'll push the link out there. So for the people who, again, want the positives with Luke Getsy, you can read it there. For some people who want a more critical view, you can also read it there. It'll all be in the same column. I will call it straight down the middle, as I always do.
Balanced. Don't be so negative. Be balanced. Strive for balance. Absolutely. Always strive for balance. Like offense and defense, strive for balance. No, Mo, I appreciate it. Make sure you check out all that stuff and follow Mo on x.com at Mo Moton, M-O-E-M-O-T-N. T-O-N, excuse me. I am at LV Gully. It's Monday, sorry. And we will talk to you guys midweek with a mailbag show, quick, nice, fun mailbag show, and any news that breaks here with the Raiders over the coming time. My friend, have a great rest of your week.
Same to you.
All right. For everybody out there, thank you for joining us. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your audio. And if you're watching us on YouTube or wherever you're watching us, make sure you subscribe, hit that thumbs up, and don't forget to put on notifications so you know every time we have a new video. We appreciate you guys. As always, thank you so much for the great conversation over the past week with all that's been going on in Raider Nation. We don't always agree, but I always respect varying points of view as long as you're not a snapperhead. That's it. That's all we ask. Don't be a snapperhead. Okay. Everybody, have a great rest of your week, and we'll talk to you soon.